You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Thursday, August 7th. Medics, the private ambulance company that provides service for Clatsop County, failed to meet compliance requirements in May and June as it faced staffing shortages and leadership changes. As part of its contract with the county, Medics must process a request for emergency assistance within 90 seconds, 90% of the time. From April to May this year, Medics' compliance rate dropped from 90.6% to 89.8%. Then in June, it dropped further to 87.9%. But last month, the company rebounded with a compliance rate of about 92%, according to Medics General Manager Thomas Krakowski. He says between May 12th and June 23rd, Medics lost 8 staffers and an ambulance crew they were utilizing from Longview. And Krakowski says since July 23rd, 5 new EMT hires have been trained and set to work. Clatsop County Emergency Management Director Justin Gibbs says the aim should be to return to pre-COVID level compliance rates. In 2019, Medics' overall compliance rate for the year was 91.6%. Krakowski is leaving due to personal reasons and moving to Roseburg, Oregon. In his place, Michael Solberg will be taking over Medics management for Clatsop County. Members of the Ambulance Service Advisory Committee say they will review new compliance reports at their next meeting in September. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Health advocates say after federal policy changes, they're expecting even more people to come to Washington for abortions, leading to longer wait times. KUOW's Eilish O'Neill has more.
Ever since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, Western Washington has seen a 30-40% increase in out-of-state abortion patients. Rebecca Gibron with Planned Parenthood says that number is continuing to grow.
And listen, you know, patients are finding care as quickly as they can, wherever they can in this country.
The federal government recently passed a bill that would prevent patients from using Medicaid to pay for any services, including cancer screenings and birth control, at Planned Parenthood clinics. Planned Parenthood is fighting that in court, but if the new federal policy holds, clinics will likely close, even in states where abortion is legal. Governor Bob Ferguson has pledged to use state money so Medicaid patients can continue to receive care at Planned Parenthood clinics in Washington.
That was KUOW's Eilish O'Neill. Oregon businesses reliant on global trade are bracing for even higher tariffs. President Trump says any country that hasn't made a deal with the U.S. could see rates as high as 50% starting today. Kyra Buckley reports.
Oregon businesses are scrambling to cover the cost of tariffs on imported items or resorting to domestic alternatives that often cost more. But wholesale coffee companies are pretty limited since the beans grow in tropical climates found in places like Brazil or Ecuador. Emily Smith with importer Hosea Coffee Source says that means the company has to keep cash on hand to pay import tax rates starting at 10%.
You can't plan any kind of investment because you need to have every single dollar possible liquid so that you can pay these unexpected tariffs.
Smith says Hosea Coffee has passed on some of the tariff costs to customers. The rest is eating into the company's margins. I'm Kyra Buckley reporting.
Salem city officials are working to prevent a possible drinking water shortfall next year. Oregon Public Broadcasting's Natalie Pate visited the water treatment plant to learn how it works and what needs to be done to prevent a crisis.
I'm standing next to rushing water on a windy and sunny summer day at Garen Island in Staten. I'm here for a tour of the Salem Water Treatment Facility. We're starting at the Upper Bennett Dam, which was originally built in the late 1800s.
When the water levels start to get low during the summer, we put these flashboards. You see the wooden boards that are on the dam, and that's just to give us more control and to keep the water moving in the direction we want.
Jason Pulley is the utility planning manager for the City of Salem's Public Works Department.
This is basically to push water to a so we can get it into our treatment plant and eventually treat it.
This is where everything starts. In about a week, people in the Salem area will be able to drink this water from their tap.
Out of 136 million gallons that we store, you know, roughly 50% of that is available for use at any given time.
But the water might be in jeopardy next year. Officials are trying to prevent that. The Salem City Council approved an emergency declaration last week to prepare for a potential drinking water shortfall. There isn't a current emergency. The water is clean and safe to drink. As Pulley put it,
we are doing this to avoid a state of emergency.
The declaration is tied to an upcoming drawdown of the Detroit Lake Reservoir conducted by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. It will be the lowest water level there since the Detroit Dam was built in the early 1950s. It's being done to improve downstream passages for endangered fish. But the heavily increased sediment expected from this process will put a lot of strain on the water treatment facility. The estimated cost to prepare and upgrade the system is roughly $8 million. The city needs to find alternative water and make improvements at the existing facility. That would include paying for things like new groundwater wells, an additional pump for water out of Kaiser, and resanding filters to withstand all the muck.
And then these fish screens, I mean, I always like to describe, you know, those old school air conditioners that have the really thin vanes on the back of them. That's basically what this is, right? The whole purpose of this is to keep fish out.
Pulley drove us to each stop on the island to show how the water moves through the treatment facility. One of the earlier stops is the traps that capture trash from the river, redirect most of the water to continue into natural public waterways like Mill Creek, and safely move the fish so they don't go through the plant. They're bringing in tens of millions of gallons of water a day and treating it.
People on Facebook asked if you could have just a large net to get rid of the debris. This is the equivalent of the net that's currently in place.
This is the only net that is in place, yes. So anything finer than that, and it would clog so often that we would just not be able to get water into the plant.
The next stop was the filters. Unless you've been to a treatment plant, you might not know what we're talking about when I say filters. The plant has multiple acres-large pools of water that sit on top of layers of sand and gravel. The weight of the water pushes it down through the rocks, which, along with a layer of biological slime that grows over the rocks, filters the water naturally. That's the slow sand filter. This is an important part of the process when it comes to the deep drawdown. Remember how I said the city has to pay to resand things? Well, they use heavy machinery to literally scoop out the sand. Pulley said that right now, they can clean the filters every 3 or 4 months. But their data indicates that with the high turbidity expected next year, the filters will need to be changed every 10 to 12 days just to keep the sand clean. And that window of time just keeps getting shorter each time they do it.
So like by the fourth run, it's a matter of hours. They just lose their ability to filter.
After the filters, the water goes through several pumps and gets balanced for things like pH levels to make sure it's ready for your tap. If the water's too muddy when it comes into the plant, they won't be able to produce enough finished water in time for all the people who need it. The question now is whether they'll be able to get enough backups working before that happens. Natalie Pate reporting.
At a meeting last week, Ilwaco City Councilors agreed to move ahead in contracting for a rate study that will explore the city's water and sewer rates. The utility rate study will be led by the consulting company FCS Group and will be paid for by a grant from Pacific County's sales tax fund. The most recent utility rate study for Ilwaco was completed in 2011. New rate structures were adopted the following year. This new study is expected to span 2 fiscal years, and city officials say it will offer at least 2 different rate paths for Ilwaco's utilities. One option will consider no near-term increases and analyze what the financial implications would be for the city in that case. Another option would call for an immediate or gradual rate increase. Ilwaco did not raise its water or sewer rates for 2025, but has gradually increased the rates in recent years, citing the need to keep up with inflation and recent improvements to facilities. Long Beach completed its own rate study in 2023 and increased its water rate by 5% last year. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @kmun.org.